before me. And then the second bracha, Zichronot, ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Socher HaVerit, the one who remembers the covenant. And then Shofarot ends with Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, Shomea Kol Truat Amo Yisrael Berachamim, the one who hears the sounding of the shofar of his people Israel with great mercy. That's the structure. So we know now that the Shmona Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is different than every other Shmona Esrei by virtue of the fact that there are a total of 9 brachot, the 3 normal brachot at the beginning and the 3 at the end, and then 3 brachot in the middle, Malchuyot Zichronot and Shofarot. All right. It's deeper significance. And this brings me to something that has always been a favorite study of mine. The Tur in the Tur Shulchan Aruch asks the following question. You may never have noticed it, and now we're going to bring it to your attention. Every day of the week, on a normal weekday, the Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharit, Mincha Maariv, is basically the same Shmoneh Esrei. On Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, the Shmoneh Esrei, or the Amida service of Maariv, Shacharit, Mincha, is the same. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, basically the Shacharis, the Maariv, and the Mincha, the Shmoneh Esrei, is the same. Musaf, of course, is always different. But then there's a fascinating phenomenon that the Tur asks, why is it so? Shabbos, the Shmoneh Esrei of Friday night, the Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos in the morning, and the Shmoneh Esrei, I mean, I'm only calling it Shmoneh Esrei because that's what we call it, you know, or Shimon Esrei, if you like, or the Amidah prayer. Maariv, Shacharit, and Mincha are different. The center, the body, the core of the Shmoneh Esrei is different. Friday night, after Hakel HaKadosh, so we say, Ato Kidashtet Yom HaShvi'i, you're the one who sanctified the seventh day. Ato Kidashtet, Tachlis Masa Shemayim, this was the completion of heaven and earth. And what do we quote on Friday night? Vayechulu Hashamayim V'Haoretz V'Chol Tzvaam. So the whole Shmoneh Esrei, or the body of that Shmoneh Esrei on Friday night, is talking about one thing, about the sanctification of the day of Shabbos. Ato Kidashtet Yom HaShvi'i L'Shemecha Tachlit Masei Shemayim V'Haoretz. It was the completion and the fulfillment of the act of creating heaven and earth. Ubeidachto mikol hayamim, you blessed it from above all other days. Vekidashto mikol hazmanim, you sanctified it more than all other times of the year. Vechein katov betoratecha, and so it says in your Torah, vayechulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaam. Shabbos in the morning, the Shmoneh Esrei, is different. It's just plain different. Shabbos in the morning, the Shmoneh Esrei is Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, let Moshe be happy with that which was given him as his share. Ki evad neman korafalo, you called him a trustworthy servant. Klil tifered b'rosho matatalo, you placed a crown of glory upon his head. B'amdolafanecho al har Sinai, when he stood before you on Mount Sinai. Ushnei luchot avanim, and two tablets of stone, Horid biyado, he brought down in his hand, and it says in them, v'chatuv behem shmirat Shabbat, it talks about keeping the Shabbat, v'chen katuv b'toratecha. So here is a different Shmoneh Esrei. It's not the same as the Friday night Shmoneh Esrei. And then when we get to Mincha, Mincha is a completely different Shmoneh Esrei. And there's something so glorious about the Mincha Shmoneh Esrei. It seems we're talking about some kind of utopian period in history. Ato Echad V'shimcha echad, you are one, and your name is one. U'mikam cho Yisrael, and who's like your people Israel? Goy echad ba'aretz, one people in the land. Tifedet gedula, the beauty of greatness. Atedet Yeshua, the crown of salvation. Yom menucha u'kedusha, a day of rest and holiness. La'amcha natata, you gave to your children. Avraham Yogel, Avraham will be full of joy. Yitzchak, your name Yitzchak is going to sing. Yaakov, uvonav yinuchupo. Yaakov and his children are going to rest on that day. And what a description of that day of rest. It is menuchat ahava unedava, love, overflowing with love. Menuchat emet v'emunah, real peace. Menuchat shalom v'shalva v'hashkeit v'vetach, peace, tranquility, silence, quiet, shash, still, great joy. Asks the Torah, why are the three Shmona Esrays of Shabbos completely and totally different from one another? So he responds by saying the following: the three Shmona Esrays of Shabbos represent the three Shabbatot in history. The first Shabbat in history was Shabbat Bereshit. And when we use the term Shabbat Bereshit, we don't mean the Shabbat on which we read Parashat Bereshit. Shabbat Bereshit means the very first Shabbat in history, when God rested after the 6 days of creation. So the first great Shabbat is the Shabbat Bereshit. The second great Shabbat is Shabbat Sinai. Torah was given to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai on Shabbos. So here is the second time that Shabbos emerges as a great day in Jewish history. There's going to be a third Shabbat, one that we haven't experienced yet. That's going to be the great messianic era, a period in which it will be Shabbos all the time. Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umenucha L'Chayei Olamim. A day that's always going to be one long day of Shabbat. This is what the Torah says. This is what the Torah says. So I had wanted to expand on the words of the Torah by saying the following. And this is something that I've told you a number of times in the past, and I have to review it myself as well. The Rambam, Maimonides, has formulated 13 articles of the faith. How many times have I told you over the last number of years that I would like you all to know the 13 articles of the faith, so that somebody wakes up in the middle of the night and says, "No, tell me, what are the 13 articles of the faith?" So you should know, I even had difficulty saying them to myself in order this morning, which means it's time for me to go over it again. The 13 articles of the faith are that God exists, that He is one, He is not physical, He is eternal. Okay, let me take a breath. How did I say? Oh, you can't even count. You can't even count. Four, I said, that God exists, that he is one, He is not physical, that He's eternal. That's four. And to Him alone do we pray. Five. There is prophecy. God communicates with man through prophecy. Moses was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never change, never be altered. Then, we're up to nine. By the time I'm finished with you, you'll know them forwards for sure. I'm not sure about backwards. Let's see. All right? So, well, let's really break them up into the way in which I am going to break them up at the end. The first five deal with the essential nature of God. He exists. He is one. He is not physical. He is eternal. To Him alone do we pray. The next four deal with the nature of Torah, that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe, and that Torah should never be changed. Four, that's numbers 6, 7, 8, and 9. There are another four to go. number that's not up to number 10. 10 therefore is that God knows what we do. He knows what we think. 11, why does he know? Because he rewards and he punishes. Rewards those who do his mitzvahs and punishes those who do not fulfill his commands. Number 12 is the one everybody knows. We believe animanim be'emuna shalema b'viat HaMashiach. Ultimate reward within history is the Messianic era. Number 13 is that God will bring the dead back to life, the resurrection of the dead. That is the ultimate reward in the future. All right, so we have the 13 articles of the faith. You seen these signs around town? Have you seen these signs with the Star of David, and above it it says Yesh Yoter Miderech Echad Lihiyot Yehudi? There is more than one way to be a Jew. They're very beautiful signs all around town at the bus stops and in other places. Yesh Yoter Miderech Echad Lihiyot Yehudi. There's more than one way to be a Yehudi. It's true and it's false. It's true in the sense you can have all shades of Hasidim, all shades of Misnagdim, you can have black kippot, you can have kippot Sukkot, you can have all sorts of, there are all sorts of ways to reach God. But yesh rak derech echad, there's only one way to be Yehudi. And the ultimate test is the following. Do you believe in the 13 articles of the faith? Or God forbid you don't. The moment a Jew rejects any one of the 13 articles of the faith, he is no longer part of the Jewish faith community. After you pass that litmus test, do you believe or don't you believe? The moment you've moved out of that, that's no longer a derech lihiyot Yehudi. It's a derech lihiyot. It's a way of being something else, but it's not derech lihiyot Yehudi. Therein lies the great test. Do you believe or don't you? I told you once in a shiur that the Rav Yosef Alba, one of the great medieval philosophers, followed the Rambam 200 years after the Rambam, following his formulation of the 13 articles of the faith. So he reduced them to 3. Not that he takes out any of the 13, but the 13 can be under 3 main categories. Easier to remember than the 13. But you're going to remember the 13. The 3 categories are Yitziyut Hashem, the existence of God. And as we say, the existence of God includes the fact that God exists, he is one, he is in no way physical, he is eternal, he spends all of time, and to him alone do we pray. The second is Torah min hashamayim. This is the crucial one. There can be people who believe in God, but when it comes to Torah min hashamayim, revelation from Sinai, Torah coming from heaven, there's the big test. That separates the men from the boys. It separates the Derech Yehudi from the non-Derech Yehudi. There it is. Torah min hashamayim, which includes the 4 that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession. And we may talk about that in the next year. When we talk about the entire Torah, we mean not only the written Torah, the Torah b'shebektav, but it includes the Torah sheba'alpeh, the oral law. And the oral law, the acceptance of the oral law, is a basic and fundamental part of the Yom Kippur Musaf. We'll get to that. One cannot say that they believe in the written word of God, but do not accept what they disdainfully refer to as the law of the rabbis. Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law was given at Sinai together with Torah Shebichtav. So when we say that we believe in revelation at Mount Sinai, it includes, number one, that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that is in our possession was given to us by Moshe. Torah shall not be changed. Third category of Rabbi Yosef Albo is the category of reward and punishment. God rewards those who keep his mitzvot. God punishes those who do not keep his mitzvot and do avirot. That includes the last four, 10, 11, 12, 13. God knows what we do and what we think. God rewards and punishes. The two ultimate rewards are the Messianic era and Tchiyat HaMeitim, the resurrection of the dead. These are the three categories of Rabbi Yosef Albo. I say, therefore, that it always bothered me. Here are major formulations of what a Jew believes. Did we have to wait for the Rambam? What about before the Rambam? We didn't know about it before? Of course we know about it before. Number one, our rabbis formulated this and made it known to us by virtue of the three Shmona Esrays of Shabbos. The Friday night Shmona Esray talks about God the Creator. You are the one who sanctified the seventh day. Do you know what we're saying every Friday night in that Shmona Esray? That God exists, that He is one, that He's not physical, that He is eternal, and to Him alone do we pray. Shabbos in the morning, it's a different Shmona Esrei. Shabbos in the morning, Shmona Esrei describes revelation at Mount Sinai. Yismach Moshe, at Mount Maschelko, let Moshe be happy with that which was given to him. Here he's up at the mountain and he comes down with the two tablets in his hand. Do you know what we're saying Shabbos in the morning? We say that we believe with perfect faith in Torah min Hashamayim, that Torah was given from heaven, which includes, as we say, that God communicates with man through prophecy. Moshe is the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. And that Torah should never be changed. And then when we come to Mincha, do you know we're talking about Mincha? A period of ultimate reward for the Jewish people. A time when Ato Echad v'Shimcha Echad, you will be one and your name will be one. Umi ka'amcha Yisrael, who will be like the people of Israel, Goyecha Boretz, one people of the land, Avraham Yogel, Yitzchak Yeranin, Yaakov, Avraham Yenuchu Bo. We're talking about an absolutely amazing and unusual period in history, the Messianic period, which means it's the period of reward. Menucha, Menuchas Avon, Udova, Menucha Sholom, Vishalva, Bahashke, Baveta, Menucha Shlema, Sha'ator, Otsepo, the kind of peace and tranquility that you want on the face of this earth. So that the three Shmona Esrays of Shabbos are the ones that speak to us of these three major pillars of faith. That God exists, that Torah comes from heaven, and that there is ultimate reward. And understood, of course, is just as there is reward, there's also punishment. Rabbi Yosef Albo, in the introduction to his great work, the Sefer HaIkrim, the book of beliefs, says the following. He brings as the source for these three pillars of the faith, he brings Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot were written by the Tanoim. We're talking about 1,000 years before the Rambam. And in that, in the Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, as I am saying with regard to Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos in the morning, and Mincha, which was written possibly, or probably, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, that's even before the Tanoim. And here the Shmona Esrei, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, is the Jew standing up before God on Rosh Hashanah and making a commitment, a faith commitment. Not simply psukim. We are pledging allegiance. At the beginning of the year, we pledge allegiance to God. Malchiot, what are we talking about in Malchiot? We're talking about God the King. Subsumed under that category is that we believe in Mitzvot Hashem, the existence of God, and all that that entails. Do I have to say the first five of the Rambam again? Nobody answered. No. I mean, you don't. I don't have to say it again. I mean, you know what I may do next. I may point to one of you and say, "Can you tell me about the first five of the Rambam?" That God exists. That He's one. That He's not physical in any way, that He is eternal, and to Him alone do we pray. Now, it's possible that at the end of the class, I may choose a few of you to get up over here, and am I going to get you all nervous?
Yeah.
We're going to hand out Valiums now. Zichronot, and here the order changes slightly. Zichronot talks about the fact that God remembers. And let me read a little bit. By the way, the internal structure of each one of the three major brachot, there's an internal structure as well. In addition to the fact that we said that Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot have the 10 psukim, 3 from Torah, 3 from Ketuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, and finally the 10th pasuk, the 4th from Torah, there is another part of the structure. It's divided. Each one of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot are divided into three parts. There's a part one, and a part two, and a part three. Now obviously, if there are three parts, there's got to be a part one, a part two, and a part three. But now, in each one, part one is the introduction. The introduction that spells out what's the idea behind the bracha. Then we come to the second part, which is the 10 psukim. And then we come to the epilogue, which ends with the bracha. For example, in Malchiot we had the Alkei Nikave Lecho, that we look forward to a time when God will be the king of a whole world. Part one. Then we bring the 10 psukim. And then following the 10 psukim, we begin third part, the bracha, Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, God and the God of our fathers. That's what it is, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, Melocha Kol Ha'olam Kulo B'Chavadecha, be king over the whole world in your great honor, V'hinase, and be exalted Al Kol Ha'aretz over a whole world, be Yikarecha, in your preciousness, V'hofan, you should appear, Bahadar Gaon Uzecha, with the beauty and the might of your strength, Al Kol Yoshvei Tevel Arzecha, upon all of those who live on the face of this earth. Let every being know that you made him. And let every creature know that you are the one who created him. Let everybody who has life within him say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, God, the God of Israel, is king. And his kingdom is throughout the universe. Interestingly, I believe that it was the Rav of Soloveitchik that Tzadik L'Racha said that in Malchiot, he said the following: There are two kinds of kings on the face of this earth. There is the absolute monarch. The absolute monarch is the one who rules by divine right. There's really not much difference between him and a dictator. It's not that he has been chosen or accepted by the people, but he is the one who has been imposed upon the people. And then there is, well, a monarchy which is accepted by the people. They choose to have this person as king over them. Not like the absolute monarch, but call it a democratic monarchy. There must be some better way to describe it. As you go, huh? A constitutional, that's exactly the word that I was looking for and I couldn't get it. A constitutional monarch, that's exactly it. Tovio. As we go through the davening on Rosh Hashanah, and especially in the Shmona Esrei, do you know what we're going to find? At the beginning of Shmona Esrei, Uvechein tein parudecho Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecho, God, give your fear, the terror of you upon all of your creatures, ve'eimatcha, and the fright of you, al kol ma'asecho barosa, upon all of those whom you created, ve'ro'ucha kol ha'masim, and let all creatures, all people, let them all fear you, ve'yishtachavu lefonecho kol ha'bruim, and let all creatures bow down before you. And then it says, "V'timlocha tovu Hashem Elokeinu mehedol avadecha al kol ma'asecha ba'artzio mishtank v'adecha." God, rule, be king, quickly upon all of your creatures. At the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, you know what we're talking about. We are describing a God who is the absolute king, who imposes his kingdom on all men. But that's not the ultimate goal and the objective. The real objective is that man should accept willingly and with love upon himself all Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of the King of Heaven. When we get to Malchus, in Malchus we're not talking about a king who is forcing his kingdom upon the people of the world. You know, we're praying for the vision, be king. And let the Yeda Kol Po'ul, every creature should know and recognize and realize, Ki Atah Pa'alta, that you made him. The Yavin Kol Yitzur, let every creature understand, you are the one that shaped and made and formed and molded him. So that while ultimately, what we're saying in Shmona Esrei is we're praying for both. Rabbeinu Shalom, if they're not going to accept you willingly, tein pachtecha, bring your fear, the terror of you upon all people on the face of this earth. But what we really want is that man should ultimately reach the great recognition. He should realize that God is the king. That's the malchut that we are talking about. Let all of those who live on the face of this earth recognize and know that you are the king of this earth. In Zichronot, so here again, as we say, we're talking now about the internal structure of each one of these brachot. Three parts: the introduction, that explains what the bracha is going to be about, the 10 psukim, and then the epilogue, the conclusion, and the bracha. Atos zocher ma'asei olam, you remember everything that happened from the very beginning of history. Ufokeid, you are the one that knows, kol yitzude kedem, all of the creatures from the very beginning of all, Zichronos. Lefanecha nivlu kol talumot, before you are revealed all secrets, the Hamon Nistarot Shemi Bereshit, and so much from the very, very beginning, that which is concealed from us. Ki Ein Shichichol of Nechi Seichem Odecho, because there is no forgetting before your holy throne. The Ein Nistar Mineged Enecho, there is absolutely nothing that is concealed from before your eyes. You know everything that was done, but there is nothing that is created on the face of this earth that is removed from you. Everything is revealed and known before you, God our God. You look and you see until the very end of all generations. And what's going to happen because you remember? Because you remember the deeds of all mankind and all nations. This is the day, this is the Yom HaDin, upon which all of this is going to be brought before you. Ki tavi chok, zikaron lihipakeid kol ruach v'nefesh, It's the law that all spirit living beings will be remembered. Lehizocher ma'isim rabim b'hamon b'riyot le'in tachlit. All of this is going to be remembered, and everything is going to be brought in, and you're going to decide. Now, on this day, you're going to decide not only the destiny of individual human beings, but the destiny of nations. Va'al hamedinot bo ye'om emer, about the countries of the world, it will be said, Ezel acherev, where will there be sword of war? Ezel ha'shalom, where will be peace? God is the one who makes peace. Ezel la'ra'av, where will there be hunger? Ezel la'sova, where will there be abundance? U'b'riyot bo yipakedu, and not only states, but also individual beings are going to be remembered. Lazkiram l'chayim u'lamavet, life or death. That's the beautiful part of the beautiful introduction. Part one of the internal structure of the bracha. And then part two is Kakatov v'toratecha. Later on it says, as is written in your Torah, Vayizkor elokim et Noach v'kol achayo v'kol habehema. Elokim remembered Noach and all of the beasts and all of the animals asher ito bateva, who are with him in the ark. Vayaver elokim ruach al haaretz vayoshev bo hamayim. Interesting, of course, that he brings Noach, because it means it's not only Jew, it's non-Jew as well who is remembered. I believe it was the Chofetz Chaim who once said, if the Goyim would only know how we pray for a whole world, they'd make sure to print Machzeichim for all of us. They'd give us Art Scroll Machzeichim so that we should be able to daven properly. If they would only know how we pray for a whole world on this day. I wasn't paid for that remark. I'm just doing tshuva, you know, for the times that I attacked Art Scroll, so now when they do something good, I'm with them. The Gemaras are very good too. Shofarot. So we have the part one. Again, the part one is the introduction that expresses the idea. And part two are the psukim of Torah, kakatuv v'torah techa, and then v'divrei kachicha katuv leimor, and then v'al yedei avodecha hanevim katuv leimor. It really would be worthwhile in advance of Yom Tov to go over the whole Musaf. It's so beautiful. Then all of a sudden, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we all of a sudden remind ourselves of the Psukim, Koamar Hashem Zacharti Lo Chesed Miurayach Ahavat Glulotayach Lechteich Acharayach Bamidbar Beretz Lo Zeruah Haben Yaki Li Ephraim. Oh God, what would Chazanim have done without Haben Yaki Li Ephraim? Such beautiful, beautiful Psukim that express God's love. It's fascinating how it in the Musaf Shmon Esrei we have a joining together of the universal and the particular. A whole world that as it goes with the Jews, so it goes with the rest of the world. We cannot ever hope to have or to be, you know, a little island of peace and tranquility in a world that's going stark raving mad. If the world is going stark raving mad, we can be absolutely certain that Jews are in the middle of it and Jews are suffering from it. So ultimately, we will only experience the great tranquility of the Mincha of Shabbos only in a world that's going to be tranquil and peaceful. All right, so then we come to the third part. Each third part of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros begins with the words Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu, our God and the God of our fathers. Zochreinu, remember us. B'zichron tov l'vanacha, with a good memory before you. U'fogdeinu, and remember us. B'fikudas Yeshua v'rachman, salvation and mercy. Mishmei shmei kedem, from the very heavens. U'zichol lo Hashem Elokeinu, and God, remember for us et habrit v'et hachesed v'et hashvuah, the covenant, the kindness, the oath, Hashem Ishbatol Avram Avinu Baharam Riyah, that you swore to Avram at Mount Mor, Mariah, Vitere, Teirol, Fanahar, Kedar, Sarkat Avram, Avinu, Yitzhak, and all. An ongoing, recurrent theme through all of the Yom HaNadayim, beginning with Slichas, this coming by Tzoy Shabbos, is Akedas, Yitzhak, the binding of Isaac. Remember that, remember that. And just as he was able to do that for your sake, you do for our sake. Then comes Shofarot, the introduction to Shofarot. Part one of the internal structure of the bracha is most probably one of the most poetic pieces, poetic and dramatic portrayals of revelation at Mount Sinai that we have in Davening or in Slichot or any place. It's unbelievably beautiful. Atonik leita ba'anan kvodecha, you were revealed in the cloud of your glory, al'an kodshicha, to your holy people, l'daber imam, to speak with them. Min hashamayim yishmatam kolecha, from the very heavens, you let them hear your voice. Do you understand, do you realize what kind of an affirmation this is of revelation at Mount Sinai? How can anybody who rejects Torah from Sinai say the Shmona Esrei of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah? We talk about God appearing and revealing and speaking to the Jewish people. The Nigleta Aleihem, you revealed yourself before them, Ba'arti Le'Toar, through clouds of purity. Gam Kol Ha'olam Kulo Chol Mipanecha, the entire world trembled from before you. U'Biriyot Bereshit Chordu Mimecha, and creatures from the very beginning trembled with fear before you. When you, our King, revealed yourself on Mount Sinai, lelamed la'amcha Torah u'mitzvot, to teach your people Torah and mitzvot. Beautiful description of God coming out of the clouds from the very heavens. You hear the voice of God as he descends. For one time in all of history, God descends, so to speak, down to the face of this earth. From the top of the mountain, they hear the voice of God. And as we pointed out, it's not only the Torah, Shebichtzav, or the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, but all of Torah is given from Sinai. Torah Shebichtzav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, the written and the oral law. V'Dibrot Kotshechom Yilahavot Eish, and your holy words out of the flames of fire, the kolotu berakim aleihem nigleta, a description of the sounds and the thunder. Through that you revealed yourself. Ubekol shofar aleihem ofate, and you revealed yourself through the sound of the shofar. Part one, it's the introduction that sets the stage and the mood for the bracha of shofarot. Part two, again, as in Malchiot and Zichronot, it's going to be the psukim, the ten psukim, kakatuv b'toratecha, as it says in your Torah. Interesting, all three psukim that are from Torah are all taken from the Sinai experience. Vayihi b'yom hashlishi, it came to pass on the third day, b'hiyot haboker, at morning, by kolot ubrakim, there were sounds and thunder, v'onon kaved alahar, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the kol shofar chazak biot, and the strong sound of the shofar, v'yecherat kol ha'am asher b'machaneh, and the entire people that was in the camp trembled. V'nemar, and it says, v'yehi kol ha'shofar ho'lech v'chazek miot, the sound of the shofar went and grew in strength. Moshe yedaber v'olakim ya'anenu v'kol, Moshe speaks and God is the one who communicates with him. V'nemar, and it says, v'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, of all of the people saw the sounds, v'talapidim, and the fire, v'kol ha'shofar v'tahor ha'shem, the sound of the shofar, and here is the mountain full of cloud, smoke, vayar ha'om, vayonu, vayandu merotha, the people saw it, and they were taken aback. And then we go to Divrei Kodshecha, as we say, it all comes from Tehillim, because Dovr HaMelech precedes the Nevi'im, and then the Va'al Yedei HaVodecha HaNevi'im, Al Yedei HaVodecha HaNevi'im, Katuv Leimor. And then, here, interestingly enough, in part three, which begins as all the others do, Elokeinu Velokei Avoteinu, Tkar b'shofar gadol l'chedoteinu. Sound the great shofar for our freedom. The sonez l'kabetz goliotenu. And raise the banner to gather in our exiles. The korei pizureinu mibin agoyim. Unifutzoteinu kaneis miyarkasei oretz. Gather in our dispersed from amongst the nations. And all of those who are spread out over the world, from the very ends of the world, kaneis, bring them in. Bring them to your city, Tzion, in song, v'Yerushalayim Beit Mikdashcha, b'simchat olam, great joy to Yerushalayim. I still can't get over the feeling every time there's Tzion and Yerushalayim in davening, and then I have to pinch myself that we're here. And there's poor guys that haven't made it here yet. You know, when will they finally wake up? It's just, by the way, Tzion Yerushalayim includes Ramat Chen as well. But, you know, Ramat Chen is a suburb. Is a suburb of Yerushalayim. It's okay, you know. And Malei Adumim, you know, a number of those other places over there. And I'm not so sure. You have to check out with Burger King what Malei Adumim really is, you know. Okay, Beth El is certainly... did I get everybody in over here? Huh? Shar LaShamayim, that's right. Ein ze ki im Beit Elokim v'ze Shar LaShamayim. So it's all Tzion Yerushalayim. But I do remember how it used to ache having to say the Shmoneh Esrei when I was living in Chutz Laaretz in West Hampstead. Yeah, I can't imagine anymore how can you say all that? Yeah, so of course, you know, we know the built-in teretz when the Rebbein Shem, when he'll bring us back and he'll send us tickets and he'll make the reservations for us. That's, you know, the korei pizureinu. When our game, it's his job to do it. It's his job to do it. That's the internal structure of each bracha, Malchus, Sophronus, and Shofros. And as we point out, Malchus, Sophronus, and Shofros are the message, the pledge of allegiance, that there is a God, that God knows what we do because he rewards and he punishes. And this is the God who communicated to us from the very heavens. I once said in a shir, and this I'll just give you a number of examples, and then you can go home and do the rest of the work yourself. But be careful. This was a time when I started collecting threes. We've spoken about the three major articles of the faith according to Rabbi Yosef Albo: the existence of God, Torah min Hashamayim, revelation at Sinai, and reward and punishment, which really means divine providence, that God's involved and God is concerned and God knows and he rewards and he punishes. So we have those are the three pillars that Rabbi Yosef Albo says are expressed through Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, which I say are also the meaning of the Friday night Shmona Esrei, the Shabbos in the morning Shmona Esrei, and the Mincha Shmona Esrei. And then I went crazy over the years picking up all sorts of other threes. I'll give you a number of examples. I think I once had 27. Can you imagine? I can't remember. Ah, it's coming to me. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was Avram's great discovery? Avram's great discovery was he discovered God, the existence of God. As the Rambam describes, he was born into a society, into a civilization that worshipped idols. He was born into a family of idol worshippers, and he worshipped with them. But early on, he began to question the beliefs of his time. Until by the age of 40, he arrived at a conclusion that there is a God. He discovered Metziut Hashem. He discovered the existence of God. What was Yitzchak? This is one of the things I believe is very, very beautiful. A I know why Avram is ready to take Yitzchak and brings him to the Mizbeach, to the altar. Why? Because God told him, take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice upon the altar. Why does Yitzchak agree? Why does Yitzchak agree? There can only be one reason. God didn't communicate with him. Do you know why Yitzchak agrees? Because Yitzchak believes that God communicates with man through prophecy. Yitzchak believes that Avram is the one and only great prophet in the world. And he believes that that whatever his father tells him in the name of God has indeed been communicated to him by God. Do you know what Yitzchak believes in? Torah min hashamayim. He's not the one who has been communicated with directly. He must believe that God does communicate with man. And he must believe that whatever his father tells him was indeed a divine communication. So Yitzchak is ready to give his life because he believes in Torah min hashamayim, that Torah has been communicated from heaven. Yaakov Avinu, all you have to do is go through all of those parashat of Yaakov and you see that Yaakov represents the ebb and the flow, the peaks and the valleys of Jewish history. Whatever happens to Yaakov Avinu is that which happens to Jewish people throughout history. The reward and the punishment, the divine providence. God promises him at the outset, I'm going to be with you wherever you are, and I'm ultimately going to bring you back here. Divine providence, God be who cares and is concerned, is the whole story of Yaakov. That's the Yaakov of Arami Ovid Avi, flees from his brother, comes to Lavan, is able to make his way out of Lavan, ultimately in Mitzrayim, and then Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Jewish history, divine providence, divine involvement with Jewish history is the story of the life of Yaakov. All right, that was Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What else did we say? I'm afraid to say that I can't put Sarah, Rivka, and Leah in here. You will have to figure it out for homework, and you can do whatever you want. That's okay with me. And there are four. So I imagine there must be a... Why would I leave one of the Imahos out? Okay. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Pesach is the Yontif where the idolatry of Egypt is destroyed. Do you know what happens on Pesach? Exactly what Avraham did in his parents' store. The famous Medrash, where his parents had an idol store. And they left one day, and they left him idol sitting, or sitting idols, or sitting idle. But Avram didn't sit idle. And what he did was he chopped up all of the idols except one and left the axe in the hand of the biggest idol. And they came home and they saw a churban over there. What happened over here to this store? They got the whole business. The whole business began kaput. So he told them that, you know, this big idol chopped up all the others. He said, what are you talking about? What are you telling me? Nagushkeit. He can't do anything. So Avram was, of course, supposed to have responded to his parents, Tishmana Oznachol, let your ears hear what your mouth has said. By the way, I always said, I don't believe that he chopped up any idols. The story is a beautiful story, but he didn't chop up any idols. I don't think he would do that. It wasn't so violent. Did somebody use the word violence over here? No. Violence is out. What it really means is that intellectually he shattered the idols of his time. He stood up against the whole world and he told them, you're wrong. He intellectually is able to shatter and destroy the idols and the pagan practices of his time. That's what happens in Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael slaughters the Shefsala for the Karpel Pesach, it's shattering the idols of Mitzrayim. And that's God. Onochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, Asher Hotzeiticha, who took you out of Egypt. The Egypt experience was not only for the Jewish people, but even for Egypt. For Yadatem, you should know. God tells Paro, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz, I am God in the midst of this land. Pesach represents the idea of the existence of God. Shavuos, of course, I don't have to tell you that it's Torah v'Ras Shamayim. Of course it's Torah v'Ras Shamayim. That's the day that Torah is given in Ras Shamayim. What's Sukkot all about? Sukkot is all about the story of divine providence. Wasn't the Sukkot always the symbol of that little Asukala Akleina from Breitala Gemena, Habich Zich Asukala Gemacht, in other words, the seeming weakness of the house of Israel, but that house of Israel continues to survive throughout all of history. So we did Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That's important. What is Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? What historically happened on Rosh Hashanah? What happened? Creation of the world. Hayom Hadas Olam. Today a world came into being. That's what we're going to say time and time again on Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Hadas Olam. Hayom Yanded the Nishpat Kol Yitzurei. Today everybody stands for judgment. The historic significance of Rosh Hashanah is the day God created the world. God the Creator. God exists. What is Yom Kippur? Oh, that we may talk in the next year. Yeah. But Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Ta'anit, Lo hoyu yomim tovim li Yisrael, there were no greater holidays to Israel than Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, and Yom HaKippurim, and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara goes on to explain all the great things that happened on Tu B'Av, what happened on Yom Kippur that made it was a great, joyous, happy day in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Israel knew that their sins were forgiven. But Rashi also adds the significance of Yom Kippur, Yom Shenitna Bo Torah LeYisrael, the day on which Torah was given to the Jewish people. Yes, God appeared to the Jewish people on Shavuos. Revelation at Mount Sinai took place then. But when did Moshe ultimately come down from the mountain in Shnei Luchot Avanim Biyado with the two tablets in his hand? That took place 120 days later on Yom Kippur. He went up to the top of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He came down on Shavuos Batamas when God told him that they had made an egel. He went back up and then there were two periods of 40 days until Rosh Chodesh Elul, where he begged God to forgive the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf. And from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, the third 40 days on which God had told him, make new luchot, and I'm going to write on the luchot what was on the previous luchot. It's only on Yom Kippur that Torah is finally given to the Jewish people. That's the great simcha of Yom Kippur. So therefore, what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is Torah min ha-shamayim. And Sukkot, as we said earlier, Sukkot is a story of Jewish history. It's the Jewish people. It's divine providence. God taking care of us throughout all of time. The bracha, at the end, when we walk out of the sukkah, before megzegen tzich fin sikkah, so we talk about the time that we are going to be in sukkas oro shalaviyasam, the sukkah that's made out of the skin of the Leviathan, which of course is talking about a messianic era. In a sense, there's also Triat HaMeitim in Sukkot, the fact that we have as guests in our Sukkot Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Yeah, all right, yes. Okay. So how many threes do you have now? You have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You have the three Shemon Esrei's of Shabbos. You have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. You have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. You have Malchus, Aquinas, and Shofar. Smart. None of you can add.
Five.
You'll go ahead. I never was able to work that out. Yeah. No, you can come up with threes, but you have to be able to work the threes into the idea that we want to express. Yes.
Could you explain the apparent contradiction between the belief in Torah Mishnayot and the incident in the Gemara, which I think is from the Gemara, where a bat kol comes down when there's a difference of opinion the Pasuk comes down and says,
Torah min Hashemayim means the following. I will explain. The question that was asked is, there's a story in the Gemara about there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, I think it is, Rabbi Eliezer, and a voice comes out from heaven to say that Allah is like Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim say, no go, sorry. So what if there's a voice from heaven? Lo bashamayim he, it is not in heaven. Because at the end of Torah, it's in this week's Seder, we're going to read it, it's the 7th, Vayela. Moshe Rabbeinu says, lo bashamayim he, Torah is not in heaven. You know what that means? It means that when Torah is given at Sinai, that's it. You can't add to Torah, and you can't subtract from Torah. Rabbis have the power to add that which is of rabbinical nature. They have a right to do that. But one cannot say about something that's added by the rabbis that this is Torah min Hashemayim. Torah min Hashemayim is sealed at the end of Torah as it is given by Moshe to the Jewish people. From that point on and further, God gives over Torah to the Jewish people, and in Torah he says, the decisions will now be made by you, by a Beis Din, by a Sanhedrin. Not only that, you're going to decide when is Rosh Chodesh, you're going to decide when Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot is. There can be no divine intervention after that. Because if there could be the possibility of divine intervention after that, we leave ourselves open for all sorts of strange changes. Everybody's going to come along and say, Komar Hashem, so says the Rabbeinu Shalem. And even a prophet, if he tells you to do something that is not in Torah, don't listen to him. Unless it's something of a temporary nature. A prophet has the right to suspend a law of Torah temporarily. For example, Eliyahu brings sacrifices on Mount Carmel when there is a Beit HaMikdash. But you see, if Torah would be open for all sorts of additions or subtractions afterwards, therein already have been created the seeds for the destruction of all of Torah. So therefore, lo bashamayim, it was all given from heaven, and from that point on and further, shamayim, heaven is removed from the equation. Now it's in the hands of Klal Yisrael. We are the ones that are going to be the deciders of Jewish law on the basis of all of the principles that were given to us at Sinai. We can't make up our own tailors. We can't make up our own laws and customs. We can. I'll give you two more, and with that we'll close. And I'll take a 10-minute break, and then I'll sort of come in like, you know, we're a new class. Study the three brachot of benching. The first one is universal. Hazonas ha'olam kulo, God who feeds a whole world, because he created them all. He created a whole world, and therefore he sustains the whole world. Hazonas ha'olam kulo b'tuvo b'chein b'chesed v'rachamim. You make sure you provide for everybody because you're the creator. You exist, and you brought this world into being. We are your charges. We are your responsibility. In the second bracha, we become particular, we move from the universal, a God who is the God of creation, a God of the whole world, we move to the particular. We thank you, God. You gave our fathers a good, beautiful, wide land. And you took us out of Egypt. And you know what we say? The Torah that you taught us. The second bracha of benching represents the idea of Torah min Hashemayim. What is the third bracha? Isn't the third bracha looking forward to the great future? That we should have Malchus based on Mishichecha. We should have all of these great things. That's to the future. The ultimate reward. Bonei beracham of Yerushalayim. God is the one who builds Yerushalayim. One more, that's it.
A difference between Musaf of the first day and Musaf of the second day?
No. No, except of course this year, if it's Svarg, Svarg blows shofar in middle of the silent Shmon Esrei. Oh, and even Ashkenaz blows shofar in middle of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. So there won't be any blowing the shofar, but the Shmon Esrei remains absolutely the same. The only other three that I'm going to mention before closing, you can figure it out yourself, go ahead and do it. The three parshiot of Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is, of course, the existence of God. And the second chapter is V'hoyom Shema. If you're going to keep the mitzvahs, Torah and Hashemayim, if you're going to keep the mitzvahs, you will, if not, no. And then the third parasha, the parasha of Tzitzis, is really the parasha of Yetziat Mitzrayim, ultimate reward, God who takes care of us, divine providence. Okay.